In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Trinity Sunday, and it comes after a really busy time in the church calendar. Over the last 90 days since Epiphany, we've celebrated the manifestation of God in Holy Week, Easter, Ascension, and last week, the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So now the foundation has been set for us to move into an extended period in which we continue to celebrate and praise right up until Advent later in the year. Did you know that today is the only time in the annual church calendar that we celebrate a doctrine of the church? A doctrine being a set of beliefs practiced by a group of people, namely us. I remember as a child in catechism classes learning about a doctrine. I mean, I really had no clue what a doctrine was. So why the doctrine of the Trinity, you may well ask? Well, because early Christians needed to make some sort of theological sense of the Trinity, because the actual word Trinity doesn't appear in the Old Testament, other than perhaps the noun for God being in a plural sense at times and not in a singular sense. Neither in the is the Trinity explicitly referred to in the New Testament. However, there are a number of subtle references to it. For example, in several places, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are mentioned next to one another, and it leaves no doubt that they are equal and therefore co-relational. For example, in Matthew, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That's in Matthew 28:19. So then, because the early church could make no sense of the Trinity, the early church met in AD 325 at the Council of Nicaea, which is located in Turkey. And there was an attempt to explain the nature of the Trinity, to give a picture of what God is like and how he relates to us and how we should relate to him. And as a result, we have what we just read, the Nicene Creed, which, as we all know, is incorporated, and as we've seen, it's incorporated into our worship and liturgy. So then the Creed is our Christian statement of belief of faith, and it's personal and it's collective. And in it we proclaim that we believe in the foundational beliefs of the Christian faith. It proclaims to all what we believe. So in order to believe something, it's vital for us to have some understanding or sense of what it is. How do we do that? Well, to better understand the Trinity or God, we need to pray and become acquainted with the related Trinitarian scripture. Now, that's not always easy, but we would do well to remember that Paul reminded the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12:3 that God wants us to use our intelligence to seek to understand as well we can. Paul said that to the Corinthians. Therefore, it requires a bit of work on our part to try to be informed in relation to the doctrine of the Trinity, that is, to the nature of God. Because God, Trinity, is utterly mysterious, unique, and the whole nature of God is simply beyond us, any language we use to describe him or her will fall far short of its reality. But it's important because the Trinity is the truth from which all other truths proceeds, so it's incredibly important. So to help us make some sense of the Trinity, it's helpful to use analogies or word pictures to approximate what it is when we are trying to describe the Trinity. Now, this is exactly what St. Patrick in AD 432 did in his most famous analogy used to describe the Trinity. He likened the three leaves of a shamrock to the three persons of the Trinity. Just as the leaves of the shamrock are distinct while remaining one, so are the three separate and distinct Trinitarian persons while remaining one supreme being or essence. It sounds simplistic, but we understand it. Even more precise was the attempt of St. Augustine, who attempted to understand the Trinity by looking at the operations of the human soul, which is made in God's image. Augustine likened the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to the faculties of will, memory, and understanding in a human being. While each faculty is logically distinct, they act as one and are united to one another in such a substantial way that they each depend on the other. So essentially, the doctrine of the Trinity describes the unique and different ways we experience God's presence in our lives. It's a really challenging doctrine, even for adults, because it seems to imply three gods who are one God, which is, of course, is incorrect. And that's where, in early times of the church, many false creeds actually arose. We know scripturally that the Bible speaks of one God. In Isaiah 45, verses 21 and 22, "There is no other God besides me, a righteous God and Saviour. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other." This one God consists of God our Father, as in Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 2, our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, scripturally Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and finally, as in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, the Holy Spirit. This indicates the three are distinct persons. It's a Trinitarian relationship, triune, three in one, and it is a truth. It doesn't contradict reason, but it goes beyond it. There was never a time when one of the persons of the Godhead did not exist. They are all eternal. One does not precede the other. There is reference of the Trinity in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 28 and 34, at the baptism of Christ. Christ is present, there is the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and the Father's voice from heaven. Saint Augustine describes it as the three members of the Trinity who work in as one and are in perfect unity. There are three different persons, not three different ways of looking at God. Each member of the Trinity relates to each other personally. Interestingly, sometimes the person or personhood of Father and Son is appreciated by many, but the personhood of the Holy Spirit is neglected. The fact that the Holy Person is a spirit and not an impersonal force like gravity is shown by the fact that he speaks, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. He reasons, Acts 15, verses 28. The Holy Spirit thinks and understands, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2 and 10. The Holy Spirit wills and decides. 1 Corinthians 12 and 11. The Spirit feels. Ephesians 4 verse 30. And gives personal fellowship. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. These are all qualities of a person or personhood. Since we are told that the Father sent the Son into the world, John 3 verse 16, so he cannot be the same person as the Son. Likewise, after the Son returned to the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit into the world. Again, three distinct persons. So to better understand all of this, what do we do? I mentioned earlier that we pray for revelation, but we also listen and become acquainted with Scripture. For example, when someone is sharing a description of something we are not acquainted with for the first time and we want to know about it, we need to listen carefully to what they're saying. They are telling us something not to be missed. So when Jesus says to the disciples just before the Holy Spirit, John 16 verses 6 and 7, Jesus says to the disciples, "So let me say it again, this truth." You see, my friends, Jesus repeats important truths. He wants truths to be revealed to us. God wants important truths to be revealed to us. Again, we're told in John's Gospel reading today that Jesus tells Nicodemus, chapter 3, verse 10, to listen carefully. He's going to tell him something profoundly important. Sometimes in his conversation before with Nicodemus, Jesus uses the imagery or analogy of being born, namely being born from above, born of water and the Spirit. It's as if Jesus is trying to communicate how completely different life with God is, life with the Trinity is. So different, it's like entering a whole new world. Being born into a new life might sound scary, a journey into the unknown. And sometimes journeys into the unknown can be quite fearful. So everything will be different, and we will be totally dependent on God. Not the journey we've taken with God will not be fearful. It will be a personal journey. We'll be totally dependent on God, who has given us this new birth. Believing that God has given new birth out of love for us, we also believe that the family of the Holy Spirit will receive us with joy and delight and a faithfulness on which we can safely depend. There is a point in the visit by Nicodemus. When Jesus turns to us as he did Nicodemus, he has insider information. Jesus has insider information. Insider information also for the world to hear. If you want to know God, watch and listen to the Son. If you want to know God, watch and listen to the Son. You can't get any closer than that source. Christ is the source of love and forgiveness. We also need to listen when Jesus draws attention to something. It must be important. Jesus is reaching out to us also. Are we listening carefully? What truth is he sharing with us? We can't listen if we're distracted. God reaches out to us personally, inviting us to join him. He takes the initiative, just as God the Father, out of love, reaches out to us by his Son and enables and empowers us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all about relationship. We experience a relationship with our God and subsequently our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. The Trinity also shows us how to be in relation with each other and how to relate to each other, because the Trinitarian relationship is the ultimate model for individual and community relationships. It's about loving coexistence. So, in summary, today each lesson read has pointed to a beautiful picture of the holiness and love of the triune God. In Romans, as was read, Paul reminded us that we are made children of the Father through the work of the Son and made heirs of the Son through the work of the Spirit. And finally, there is one passage that brings everything together, and it is in chapter 28, verse 19, when Jesus commands, "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Notice again that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are distinguished as distinct persons. They are all placed on the same level, and they are all distinct and only constitute one name. They all share the one essence, the very being of our triune God. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the gift of love and grace. Enlighten us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may truly know more of you, that you will be constantly revealed to us, that we may constantly be in relationship with you, and that we may truly appreciate and thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who reconciled us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.